Good morning. It is good to be back. I don't know about you, but I did some sports growing up. Not a lot. I did some. And one of those phrases that was repeated over and over, whether it was in sports or whether it was band or whatever, and maybe you've heard this, is practice makes perfect. And as a father, I have found myself saying that or similar phrases to my children as they complain about sports practice. Because sometimes practice is just... Today, we are entering a new section of the Sermon on the Mount. We're now in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus starts by saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." And I find it interesting that Jesus starts by talking about practicing righteousness. I just think that's such an interesting term, to practice righteousness. And essentially, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, sums up the first half of Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And we're going to see this over and over as we go through today. But righteousness, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the definition, the quality of being in accordance with God's law. Righteousness is the quality of being in accordance with God's law. So to the people that Jesus is preaching to, what Jesus is literally saying is beware of obeying the law in front of other people. That's interesting, isn't it? Because these are the things that the people of Israel were commanded to do by God, and Jesus says, beware of doing them in front of other people. Except that's not quite exactly what he says. I'm going to go back to this slide because it's not just saying, it doesn't say, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, period, end right there. He says, in order to be seen by them. That's the key. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So what does this mean today? If righteousness is the quality of being in accordance with God's law, okay, well, we don't use that word law very often when talking about New Testament Christianity. Well, it would mean when you are obeying God's will. When you are doing the things that God expects his people to do. Don't do them in front of other people in order to be seen by them. Do not be godly for the sake of being seen by other people. Your righteousness should not be a show or a performance for other people. Your righteousness is between you and God. So we're going to read this whole section now. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And so in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, we have these three expectations: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. These are three expectations that Jesus had of the people listening to this sermon as he gives them. He had the expectation that these people will be doing these things. I say that with confidence because Jesus didn't say, and if you give to the needy, or if you pray, or if you fast. He said, when you pray, when you give to the needy, when you fast, this is how you should do it. And so we're going to start and we're going to focus for a second on giving to the needy. And so again, in this section, when you give to the needy, he says, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't sound trumpets so that other people will see that you're giving. He says, do it in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And the Greek term here for give to the needy literally means charitable giving or giving of alms. If you know what the word alms means, it means giving food or money to someone in need. And so Jesus says, when you do this, notice I didn't say anything about tithing. This word is not the same word that Jesus later uses in Greek for tithing. This is outside of the tithing that Jesus also probably had expectations of his followers to tithe. This also doesn't necessarily mean giving to the homeless person on the corner. Although the principles that Jesus is giving here about don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing still apply to all of those instances. Jesus is talking about charitable giving. Now, it could mean giving to the homeless person on the corner. My stepfather has done a lot of charity work with the homeless. When I was in high school, the church that he was at, he ran a dinner for the homeless that they did at the local armory, a National Guard armory, and they went, I think it was once a month on Friday night, and they made food at the church, and they took it to the homeless there at the armory. It was a shelter over the weekends, and they fed the homeless. And he did this every Friday night for as long as I could remember. When they were living in Grants Pass, he volunteered at a place called Joe's Place, where he would go and work with homeless teenagers in Grants Pass, helping feed them and mentoring them. And these are things that he loved to do. And one of the things that he instilled in me at a young age was never give cash to a homeless person. And he said that in his experience, that always enabled them to do bad things. He said, if you want to give, feed them. Give them food. Bring them blankets, bring them socks, bring them necessities of life, but don't just hand them money. And those are things that have been instilled in me. I love that our teenagers have gone to the Agape Village that's right there behind the Portland or the Central Church of the Nazarene. And we have gone and we have helped work in that. It's a homeless camp where they have tiny homes to help people transition from the streets into what we would call normal life. Getting jobs. If they're alcoholics or drug abusers, they have to be clean while they're there. And so it's helping them get clean. They get counseling while they were there. I love that work. Here at the Oregon City Church of Christ, we support the Mountain States Children's Home with the change cans. That is good work. I'm so excited that our youth group is going back to Mountain States Children's Home this summer. That is good work to help the less fortunate. That is charitable giving. And what Jesus is saying is don't make a show of it. Don't tell everyone how much you put in your change can. That's between you and God. Give in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And then Jesus talks about prayer. And this is a difficult one, mainly because there's so much in here. And I'm going to skim over the top, because next week we're going to spend the entire sermon looking at prayer. And we're going to start here in the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to look at other things that the New Testament has to say about prayer. But I want to get a couple of points in here. Again, prayer is the expectation. And what Jesus is saying is he's saying, prayer needs to be between you and God. Jesus is not talking about public prayer. Here in our worship service, we had an opening prayer. We're going to have prayer for communion. We're going to have a closing prayer. These are not the prayers that Jesus is talking about when he's talking here in this section. He is talking about someone who is making their private prayer life public in order that they may be seen by others. Here's the truth. When you are up here leading a public prayer, men, you are leading, hopefully, the people are following. You are leading them in worship. And we have some men here who lead some beautiful prayers. At the risk of embarrassing him, I'm going to point out Russell McDowell, because I love when Russell McDowell leads prayers, because you can tell that he has been thoughtful about what he wants to say, and you can tell that maybe he has written some of it out, but he's not just reading it. It is a prayer from the heart that is beautiful and helps me in my prayer life. And this is what public prayer should be. Again, this is not what Jesus is talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount. He is talking about, if I were to get up here in the middle of our worship service and start giving my personal prayer in public, saying it loud so that other people can see how righteous I am. Jesus is saying you should not be making your private prayer life public for other people to see. Go into your room and pray in private. And then he says, don't try to impress God with your many words. I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter how many words I use, I can never impress God. I can't even impress my wife with my many words. And how arrogant is that, to think that I could impress God? Instead, we need to be approaching God with humility. I think of later on in Jesus' ministry where he talks about the sinner with his head down, beating his chest, saying, God, forgive me, the sinner. We need to be humble in our prayer, and we need to approach God in secret with humility and honesty in our brokenness. That is how we approach God. Again, we'll talk more about prayer next week. The last expectation is fasting, and this might be the most difficult. When you fast, do not look gloomy as the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. And I want to point out that Jesus ends all of these sections with the same line. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. When you do your acts of righteousness to be seen by others, and you get seen by others, that is your reward. That's it. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. If we practice our righteousness for God and God alone, we do have a great reward. But fasting, this is a difficult one, isn't it? Especially for us in the Western world. I mean, when was the last time that you fasted? On purpose. I remember as a teenager, there were times that I would go and, you know, forget to eat for a day because I was so busy. That doesn't happen anymore. But when was the last time you fasted on purpose? You see, fasting was commanded in the Old Testament, in the Law of Moses. It was commanded that the people should fast at least once a year. There is one commanded fast that I was able to find in all of Scripture that the Jewish people as a whole were to do every single year. That was on the Day of Atonement, a 24-hour fast. Now, I also looked up that practicing Jews today, emphasis on practicing, they fast 6 times a year. There are 2 major fasts and 4 minor fasts. Their language, not mine. Major fasts are 24-hour fasts. So from sundown to sundown is a major fast, 24 hours. And there are 2 of those, the Day of Atonement, and then also, if I remember correctly, it's the remembering of the destruction of the temple is the other major fast that they do every year. And there are 4 minor fasts, and I'm not going to list them, but those are only 12-hour fasts from sun up to sundown. Just 12 hours that they do every single year. And in the Bible, fasting is always connected with prayer. In fact, many times in the New Testament, we see, and in the Old Testament, we see fasting done, not the commanded fast, but we see fasting done with prayer before major decisions are made. We see lots of fasting in the New Testament, even though it's not commanded in the New Testament. Are we commanded to fast? No. But that does not mean that it is something we shouldn't do. Fasting is a way to connect with God, to give something up in order to, we could say, be uncomfortable. This idea of not doing something that you enjoy in order to connect with God. Spend that time doing something else. Recently, I went and had a doctor's appointment, and you know, he talked, oh, well, yeah, you're overweight. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. And he said, have you tried intermittent fasting? I was like, ugh, my wife was just talking about this. It's essentially a 16-hour fast, right? From the time that you eat dinner, you don't eat until until lunch the next day, essentially. Dumbing it down a lot. But essentially, it's a 16-hour fast. You spend all of your time, everything you eat in that day is, what is that, 8 hours? It's actually good. It works really well in losing weight. On my drive home, I was like, well, maybe I should try that. And then the thought struck me. Every time I've talked about, or someone has suggested fasting, literally just this last summer, right before high school camp, one of the other youth ministers suggested, what if we all do a one-day fast leading up to high school camp and spend time in prayer? And I went, no, I'm not going to do that. And then after this doctor's appointment, I'm thinking, well, maybe I could do this intermittent fasting thing. And it struck me, am I really willing to do this for my health but not for my God? That didn't sit right with me. But this is one of these expectations that Jesus had of his followers. That they would be giving charitable donations, that they would be praying, that they would be fasting. And again, in the Western world, fasting is not really something that we think about as a good thing. And if we do, it's because of our health, not because we're trying to grow closer to God. Maybe I need to put that on my to-do list. But these are three religious acts that Jesus expected his people to do. He expected them. Yes, Jesus was talking to Jews living under the Old Testament law. So yes, we could make the argument, well, he's only talking about the commanded fast for the Day of Atonement. But I still think that fasting is something that we could do to improve our devotion to God. All of these things are meant to improve our devotion to God, something that we do for God in secret. It says that he will reward us. But the point and the warning that Jesus is giving is don't practice righteousness in order to be seen. This is something between us and God. And yes, it is something that we need to practice. It is something that we need to work at. Because the truth is, none of us spend enough time praying. None of us spend enough time in the presence of God. And we need to practice and practice and practice. I will never be perfect until I reach heaven and stand before God. But I still need to practice. I still need to work on being right before God. I still need to do the things that he expects of me. Even when they're hard, even when they're uncomfortable, even when it's something that I don't necessarily want to do. But if I'm going to make Jesus Lord of my life, I definitely need to be spending more time with my Father, with his Father. If there is any way that we can help you today, if you are struggling with being righteous, with being right with God, you need the prayers of the church, if you need to put on Christ in baptism today, the invitation is open for you. If you'll come as we stand and sing.